2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome in. It's Helmets Off. I'm Scott Mitchell, your host. Fun show today. Cam Newton. Is he a chameleon? Is he a cat? Does he have nine lives? Well, he's returned to, the Panthers. They're kitty cats, right? Anyways, Cam had a short stay with old Bill Belichick in New England, and that didn't go so well. And this is a guy that's an MVP and been to a Super Bowl, so pretty darn good. What's that going to look like for him in Carolina? And, of course, BYU coach Kalani Sitake has done an amazing job at BYU. Will he stay or will he go? We do not know. But one place he could go, I'll tell you about that today. And then college football playoffs, which is the biggest farce in the world. But it's fun to talk about. It's fun to make fun of. And it hasn't changed much here in the last couple of weeks. Still, you got your SEC schools and you got your Big Ten schools in the old top four there. That will change because guess what? They all play each other. What am I thinking? The Pac-12 has a team in there. Oh, we kind of forget the Pac-12. Oregon is number three. They play at Utah on Saturday. And then they probably will play Utah in a couple of weeks. Can they beat a really good team twice? Can Utah beat them? Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? And that poor old Cincinnati. We'll talk about how they're never going to get there. All right, let's get started. First of all, thank you so much for joining. And, been doing this a long time. Really like it. We appreciate you dialing us up and listening on in. Cam Newton, he is a blessed person. There's certain rules in professional football, and it's kind of when folks are done with you, they are done with you. And no matter how good you are, no matter how many years you might think you could play, it doesn't matter. The NFL is going to tell you what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. And, well, Cam Newton is... it looked like was not going to play anymore. And quite frankly, it looked like, I don't know if he was, you know, maybe as good as back in the old day. Here's the challenge with Cam Newton, okay? So he got picked up by the Carolina Panthers again, which never happens, by the way. It's so rare for a player. I mean, I don't know. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head. I'm sure it's happened, but I can't think of anyone who's done this. There's just no way. Because the team goes, we know who you are. We know what you are about, but we don't want it anymore. We've kind of been there, done that. We would rather give birth to a new player than resurrect the dead. So it's a shocking move just in that Cam Newton went there. But here's the problem. Here's one problem. Cam Newton is a quarterback who is a running quarterback. Running quarterbacks have a shelf life. They just do. NFL defenses, those guys are trained assassins. They will hit you. They will tackle you. And if you run, and Cam's a big guy. He can take the shots, but it's just like a heavyweight fighter. After a while, the shots just kind of take you. And it just gets harder and harder to be effective. Quite frankly, I think the advent of the dual threat quarterback is in direct correlation to, I'll say, free agency. Maybe I'll talk about that. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'd save it for another day. But it's really what happened. So Cam is a guy who's more, well, I guess I might as well talk about it just because he's a guy that's a perfect example of this. Like, he can throw the football. Don't get me wrong. This guy can read defenses. He can throw. He can do all these things. But a lot of times, these quarterbacks kind of have egos. And they're like, oh, well, I can run too. And I'm going to take off and I'm going to run and I'm going to show you, and I'm going to put this on my back. And the problem is it wears you down. The other problem is you don't become a master at throwing the football. When you're a quarterback and you're an NFL quarterback, you can just dissect the defense if you're amazing. Aaron Rodgers, you've got Drew Brees, you have Tom Brady, you have Ben Roethlisberger, because Ben Roethlisberger was a little bit like Cam Newton, because he played young, didn't really know what he was doing, kind of ran around with his head cut off until he figured out, you know, how it was working. And then he dialed into being a drop back passer. Now, you know, Ben, you know, he's had a great career, won a couple of Super Bowls. So being able to throw the football, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, all the really good quarterbacks, they don't beat you running the football. Not that the guys I named could beat you running the football, but they don't have to. And they play a long, long time. And they play really, really good. And I just don't think Cam Newton's ever really got that. In fact, I think very few dual threat quarterbacks actually do get it. The guy who got it was Steve Young. Steve Young was an early version of Cam Newton. The guy that wanted to run was so athletic and could really cause havoc for defenses. And he was a guy that kind of really, really had to take a back seat and really, really was fortunate to be in the right situation where he could learn and he could grow and he could become a Hall of Fame quarterback because he stopped running. Look at all the guys that win Super Bowls. They're not dual threat quarterbacks. They're not. And they don't have long careers, any of them. So what's going to happen to Cam Newton? Probably about what's happened to him in the past. I mean, really. I mean, this guy's going to run around like he did. I mean, you saw it in the game. I mean, he doesn't have a grasp of that offense that he's in right now. He's not going to have a grasp of it in the 7 or 8 games left in the regular season. But he can run around and make things happen for a short period of time. And I'm sure that's what they're looking for. I highly, highly doubt Cam Newton is coming back to Carolina as this long-term solution for the Panthers. He's a stopgap. And maybe it's good, maybe it's bad. I mean, there have been other quarterbacks. You know, I think of Randall Cunningham, who was really good. Randall Cunningham's kind of the same type of player. Randall was amazing in Minnesota. We took him to the NFC Championship. Truly was a remarkable player. But he just, it wasn't a long-term solution for the Minnesota Vikings. It just wasn't. So that's that, you know. Cam Newton could possibly take this team to the playoffs. He could, you know, I mean, there could be some excitement here. Maybe it extends his career another 3 years or so, but it's not going to be long. It's not going to be long-term just because physically I'm not sure he'll hold up. I mean, he was really, really banged up before. All right, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, Kalani Sitake could be a hot, hot commodity on the college football coaching market if he chooses to do so. There are a lot of changes, a lot of vacancies, and probably more coming up, and I'll explain why all this is happening so quickly with the season still right in the thick of things.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
welcome back. It is Helmets Off. Scott Mitchell here, your host. And there's this thing happening in college football with football coaches, and a lot of big-time programs and a lot of programs in general have basically said, we're getting rid of a guy early. Clay Helton at USC, they just said, no, we're not going through this again. We need to find a guy. We need to salvage recruiting because that's what's really happening here. Recruiting is earlier. So you got all these commits, and all of a sudden they go, wait a minute, you fired your coach. I don't know what I'm going to do. And it's going to give schools time to hire a person and have enough time to get legitimate recruiting done. And potentially transfer portal, because that's a real thing now, candidates in line. And finding the right guy is so important, and getting out ahead of it is so important. You look at Mel Tucker and how, you know, he left Colorado, who he kind of had, you know, thought done a decent job with, went to Michigan State and really was a find, has been a gem, quite frankly, for them. So you want to find a guy, early, and I don't know that there are a lot of them out there. But you look at a guy like Kalani Sitake, and he's a guy that could be highly valued. BYU is a tough place to recruit. He's the right person to be at BYU, and it's just a question of, is his career about being a great coach? Or is his career about really being an influencer of people and young men? Because BYU for him is almost a community service, a church service type of situation. Because there's probably some higher profile programs that would be very interested in Kalani. I think Washington would be amazing for him. I think USC, they wouldn't ever do it. I think he'd be amazing at USC, but I don't think they would do it. Washington, however, would be an amazing spot for Kalani Sitake. This is a program that can have national relevance, deep pockets, a lot of tradition, great fan base. And you get an energized Washington fan base, and you really have something. Kalani has shown an amazing ability to develop talent and to recruit the right way, to recruit in challenging situations, and kind of having maybe the shackles per se taken off of him in recruiting as far as money goes and as far as the types of players that he could bring to Washington. He could really do a lot, and probably in a quick order. And not only just that, as far as recruiting goes, but with the transfer portal now, there's an opportunity, a real opportunity to make a huge difference. Take the University of Utah. Cam Rising was at Texas, and he's been a great find for Utah from the transfer portal. You've got several other players that have been good finds for schools. I mean, you've had Heisman Trophy winners from the transfer portal. Jalen Hurts was at Alabama, and he went through the portal to Nebraska, or not Nebraska, but Oklahoma. And then you have have Kyler Murray, and you have others who have done this. So when you're a coach, you can turn a program around quickly. And when you're a guy like Kalani, who's really developed an understanding of Pac-12 football, you can make a difference. And I'll tell you a place that wouldn't be a bad spot for Kalani. It wouldn't be there this year. It maybe would be there next year, but probably the year after that in 2 years. Utah, which has really risen in the Pac-12. I mean, they're three of the last 4 years, they're probably going to win the South this year again and go to the Pac-12 championship. So they've been to the Pac-12 championship game three of the last 4 years. Last year was a COVID year. Very talented team, very young, talented team that will be good for the next 2 or 3 years. And if they continue the way they've done in recruiting, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. So it's a good place to be, and it might be a really good fit. And it's not out of the realm of the possibility. Kyle Whittingham was an all-conference defensive player of the year at BYU. He's LDS, just like Kalani, and he's made an amazing career at the arch rival. So it's a definite possibility for Kalani Sitake to end up at Utah or somewhere else for that matter. Now, BYU is going into the Big 12. And that may be enough to entice Kalani, but still, you're going to be recruiting against a lot of schools. You're still going to have those restrictions. You're going to have a Power 5 schedule. Now, they've had a tough schedule as an independent, but it's still not a Power 5 schedule. You know, it's 3 to 5 Power 5 conference schools, and now it's going to be 8 or 9. And that's a big difference, and it's a big difference in attrition. You need depth, and you need talented depth to in order to compete for a year, and you don't have that. Frontline guys at BYU, awesome, but the backups, who, it's not like, well, a guy gets hurt and a backup comes in. It's like you rotate guys through during the season, so you have people fresh all year long, so you don't burn people out, and they don't have that at BYU. They just don't. They have Tyler Allgeier, and it's a big drop-off after him at running back. And that wears down. Defensive line is, you know, and they play a hyper deep. But it's just having that depth really helps you to make it through a tough competitive schedule and be able to compete and win championships. I think that's something that Utah has kind of been able to build as it's, you know, gone through its existence in the Pac-12. So it's important. So can Kalani do that? Is it out there? I don't know. I mean, he's done a tremendous job this season, beating every Power 5 school he's faced except for Baylor. And then, of course, they have USC at the end of the year. And normally USC would be a tough team, but USC's a dumpster fire right now. So regardless, he's done a remarkable job at BYU. He's won a lot. And I just think he's a guy that if he wants to go somewhere, he could. And it's just a question of whether he wants to. All right, we're going to take another break, talk about college football playoffs. Hey, folks, welcome back. Final segment of the day. It is the college football playoff area of boredom or whatever. This is so stupid, and I'll just tell you why it's stupid. I'll just do it right off the bat, okay? The college playoff football poll is stupid. So you have number 3, Oregon, and you have number 4, Ohio State. And they're there, as explained by the committee, because Oregon's beat Ohio State. They both have the same record. They have one loss. Oregon lost to Stanford. Ohio State lost to Oregon. So the head-to-head mattered, right? Because you want to think that always matters. Isn't that why we play the game? If I play you and beat you, it probably means I'm better than you. And that's why you have a playoff, to find out which teams are the very best, because they play each other. And that's kind of, oh, what a concept, right? But in college football, it's like, well, it's subjective. We're going to have this little poll that we think who the good teams are. We don't know, because they don't play each other. And so we're going to just kind of decide it on paper, and then we'll get a couple of them together at the end of the year and see what happens. And it will always involve the SEC, and then there's everyone else. Clemson was hot. They're not now. And no one cares. Big Ten is up and down. Ohio State's kind of been in the mix. I think if they could get away with it, they'd have 4 SEC schools playing in the college football playoffs. I really do. I think it's that arrogant, and it's that kind of lopsided. And the reality is, I don't believe that all the talent exists in the SEC. I just don't. I know there's a lot of guys that end up in the NFL. I get it. But there's a lot of guys that end up in the NFL from other places as well. So Here's where it's so stupid. Michigan State beat Michigan. Michigan State and Michigan both have one loss. Michigan State lost to Purdue. Exactly the same thing that happened with Oregon and Ohio State. However, two spots down, or three, because you have Cincinnati at number five. So number six and number seven. Michigan is six. Why? I don't know. They have the same loss record as Michigan State, and Michigan State beat them. What's the difference? And that's my whole point. This is subjective. And it never holds water. Whatever happened to, I challenge you, and we're gonna figure this out. We're gonna resolve this on the field. But no, they just go, but it's kind of different, but it's kind of the same, but it's, you know, because this opponent and this time and that, but head to head is really important with Oregon and Ohio State, and it's stupid. Well, Michigan State this week plays Ohio State. And Michigan also plays Ohio State. So the Big Ten is going to cannibalize itself. Alabama, who's two, Georgia, who is one, they now are like, now where the disaster comes is if Alabama beats Georgia. But if Georgia beats Alabama, Alabama should be booted all the way to Greenbow, Alabama, and get on Bubba Gump shrimping boats with Forrest. Because they don't belong there. And they just want to put them there. But they just don't. This isn't their year. They just haven't had a great year. Plain and simple. Get them out. They're done. Oregon, who's number three, plays Utah twice. Plays its rival, Oregon State, who's probably the second best team in the North in the Pac-12. They got a tough road. So this thing may look stagnant, may be like there's no change. So then what happens? And here's my point. Cincinnati's number five. You could potentially have 2, 3, and 4, and you could potentially have 6 and 7 all lose another game before the season's over. And Cincinnati will still not get in the college football playoffs. Utah beats Oregon, they're out. Let's say Michigan State beats Ohio State. Ohio State's out. Let's say Michigan loses, and then Michigan's out. And then let's say Michigan State loses again, and then there's Cincinnati, and they won't put them in. They'll find, and there's really not a lot behind 7, 8, and 9 that's like of any value. It's like Wake Forest. I mean, maybe Wake Forest makes it into the college football playoffs. And I think the whole world would be up in arms about that. Wake Forest. So this whole subjective thing and this whole, it just doesn't hold water. But man, I'm telling you, the whole college football world could be turned upside down in a matter of 2 or 3 weeks. Or everyone could just keep winning and it won't change. But one thing will be certain. Cincinnati, poor old Cincinnati, who's now going to be a Power 5 team, going to the Big 12, they're going to be left out. And it's unfortunate because I'd like to see how they fared against at least one of these schools. They almost beat Georgia a year ago. All right, folks, Helmets Off is now off. You can find us on Facebook at the Helmets Off Podcast, Twitter at the Helmets Off Show. Of course, we're powered by KSLSports.com. Until then, we'll see you then.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
they said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.